Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, movie fans and radio fans and whatever fans you might be. If you happen to be listening, we got a pretty cool show. My guest will be Ari Barkin. He'll be calling in from Brooklyn, New York. And I also have a special treat tonight. I actually have a co-host that I needed. My good friend Joe Flynn calling from mid-California, we'll say. Yeah. And Joe, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Beautiful day here in the Bay Area. Yes. Going to be a scorcher tomorrow, Johnny.
Oh, geez. How do you like that heat up there?
Oh, it's lovely. You know. But hey, it's beginning to look like the end of days. No, I'm just joking, people.
I just spend my time in air-conditioned areas, you know. You figure me being from the desert, I'd be used to it, but it's the humidity, I can't stand it. Like 80-something percent humidity. I expect being back in New York.
That's right. Oh, yes. The good old days. But, yeah, I'm doing great. Can't complain.
Nice. Now, tonight we have Ari Barkin calling in from New York, and he's a Russian actor. Of course, he doesn't play only Russian parts, but sometimes he does. He's been in quite a few good movies, Wolf of Wall Street being one, and what was that other one that I really liked? Oh, wow, I can't remember what it was.
Non-stop or Fading Gigolo.
There you go. Ari, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What's going on?
There you are. You're not still driving, are you?
No. I'm finally home. Listen, a few people want to listen in, so how do I get them to this link? Because they click on the link, and nothing's coming up.
If they click on the link now, the show's live. It'll start playing through from the Facebook page.
Okay, one sec.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Yep, I told him that. So what's going on, guys? Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be on the show. I know this was in the works for quite a while. And, you know, I'm really really excited to, you know, do some shameless self-promotion and talk about my upcoming projects, including with a few mutual friends of ours. So before
right
I continue,
now,
how are you, Brett? How's everything?
Oh, everything's pretty cool. Just dealing with the heat, you know, in Southern California. It's just, well, summer started a little late this year, so it was a little better than last year. But, I mean, being in the 80s or so, but the humidity's in the 80s, it reminds me of being back on Staten Island. You know, like, oh, gosh, it's just getting showered five times a day, you know.
Same here. I know that feeling.
Yeah.
And you guys, you've been out filming for, you know, well, you're doing two projects. I don't know if you're doing both at the same time right now, but Staten Island summer, is that filming wrapped up?
Well, no, yeah, that wrapped up 2 years ago. We did a reshoot last summer, and it's, you know, it's been a while. It's been a long time in the editing room, and they've been deciding what to do with it. But, you know, it's finally moving on to Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Finally moving on to Netflix.
Nice. Now, I understand. Well, it's listed on IMDb that it's supposed to be released in November of this year.
Yeah, no, it was supposed to be released a while back, but it's finally July 31st. It's premiering on Netflix.
That was cool.
a really cool role. I'm playing Speedo Guy, you know, a few lines. But it's something
to
get, you know.
Yeah, tell us about that role.
Yeah, for sure. So basically, in the movie, there's a scene where the main lifeguard gets pranked by this little boy played by, I believe his name is Wendell Nichols. I keep forgetting his name. Because it's like two first names, but he's a wonderfully talented young actor. He, you guys probably saw him in Bad Grandpa, the latest Jackass movie.
Oh yeah,
he played the grandson. So that guy's that kid's a trooper, and so he steals the Speedos of the main lifeguard, and the lifeguard comes out and starts trying to look for it. And this is just a small scene, and as that's happening, a kid starts drowning, and one of the main actors, who is the lifeguard in the movie. He comes out and, you know, tries to save the kid. So in the meanwhile, he notices that I'm wearing really small Speedos. I'm looking at what's going on, and he starts asking me, are those mine? Or where did I get those? And we have just a little scene, so I won't spoil it. But it's really funny, and the actor who is in that scene with me, the lifeguard, is Michael Bryan, who is one of the head writers from Saturday Night Live. In the scene in the movie, it's also Kate McKinnon, Cecily Strong, Bobby Moynihan, Fred Armisen, and it's the movie is written by the head writer of SNL, Colin Jost, who is a Staten Island native. And he also went to Pharrell Monsignor, same as, you know, Fuzz and the Lens guys, who we both know. And, yeah, so that should be out July 31st. I'm really excited for that.
I'm definitely looking forward to that. And what was it like working with these SNL guys, you know?
Oh, it was a thrill. It was a real, real thrill. I mean, they were so nice. They were so friendly, especially Bobby Moynihan. That guy is a true mentor to me and an inspiration. And when it was time for lunch, I went to move my bag, and a bunch of them were sitting there eating lunch. And they had asked me, you know, I wasn't kissing ass, or so to say, or I wasn't brown-nosing, but I just went to remove my bag so they could have more room to sit, and then they told me to join them and sit down. And it was, you know, I was like, a quiet, you know, creature in an environment of all the talented animals, so to say. You know, I was just sitting there and I was learning, I was listening to everything, the behind the scenes talk and everything. And it was just, to say I was starstruck is an understatement, honestly. It was, you know, I watch SNL regularly every Saturday, you know, and I always defend it no matter what kind of criticism it gets. So just to sit there with these, you know, stars that I see every Saturday, and those guys, they work 6 days a week. So, you know, it's a real tough gig, but once you get it, it's fun. And it was so awesome to hear how each one got onto SNL, and it was a really cool experience. And I was very proud to be there. And it was definitely an accomplishment of mine. But now the worry is whether my scene gets ending up, you know, on the cutting room floor, so to say. But nonetheless, I'm excited to see the movie. I'm going to be supporting it no matter what, and I just very excited, very excited.
I don't know. I mean, how could a scene like that end up on the cutting room floor? I think it'll make
it. No, that's right. We did about 12 takes. 11 of those were with my text, my script, my lines. And one was without. So there's always that up, you know, the possibility that for time purposes, they, you know, they can cut it. But hopefully not. But that's just the beginning of my summer. I mean, a lot of other projects I'm proud of that are shaping up. I haven't officially announced it on my Facebook page or my website, but I recently just got cast in a film called Oiled Up. It's an independent film. I was just informed a week ago by the casting director, who's also a good friend of mine. Well, not a good friend of mine, but you know, becoming a friend in the industry, a good person. She's a good person, and I found out that I'm going to be working alongside the Eric Roberts. And it's a very
nice.
Yeah, and he's, you know, I grew up watching him. He's amazing. You know, his sister's Julia Roberts, but he can, you know, his credits can speak on his own. So, yeah, it's just, it's going to be awesome. I play a goon, which I'm becoming typecast as for now. I have no problem with that as long as it gets the work. And in my ever-growing career, I'm just, you know, trying to finally, you know, develop a steady resume. And this summer, this year, has been very big for that, including the main event of the summer, which is coming in August, Abnormal Attractions.
Yeah. When we talk about Fuzz on the Lens, you know, I met you through them. We all met up in Santa Monica about 2 years ago or something like that.
Oh, my God. That was so much fun.
That was a blast, dude. I mean, we occupied the entire top floor of that Mexican restaurant, and it was just
yes, the Cabo Cantina. That was so much fun. Oh, man, yeah, Fuzz were out there. They're at the L.A. Film Festival, which is associated with the con. They were doing well in that festival. And, it was, I don't get to see them too often, you know. They're always busy, and I'm always busy. But to reunite in L.A. is just, it's very significant to me, and it's very sentimental to me because, you know, they call Hollywood the land of dreams, and New York is now becoming the East Coast version of that. But just to reunite with them in L.A. is just, you know, incredible. And
one of the films that you did with Fuzz, which is one of my favorites, it's, you know, they did a lot of short films, and this came out about 2 years ago. It's called Capture the Day, and you played.
Yeah, it wasn't even a short film. It was originally a short film.
Their,
they made it into a feature.
Yeah, your role as the pizzeria owner. I mean, Michael Levy and I had him on the show maybe about a month ago or so. And we were talking about that particular film and your role in that. And then we talked about you for a little bit. But how did you get hooked up with the Levy Brothers and end up being on Capture the Day?
Oh, it's a really great story. So about, what was this, two and a half years ago, I'm sitting in Atlantic City. I'm having dinner with my buddies. And, you know, once every year we try to go out there just for the night, just to, you know, play a little blackjack poker and just, you know, have some fun. And I get a message from my friend who's also a great actor, Joseph Urban. I'm always, you know, grateful to him for this. He connected me with Ed Heavey. Ed Heavey's one of the actors that Fuzz always used. He's very talented, and he also happens to be a casting director for them. And I get a message saying, you know, we'd like to have you as a pizzeria guy. You know, you don't have to audition. We've seen your demo. We like what you can do, and we would love to have you aboard. So, you know, when time came to film that scene, you know, I was very grateful. I was very, you know, happy, and at the end, my co-star, Gil Brando, who is an amazing, amazing actor, Gil Brando Acevedo, who's just, I mean, just wow, you know, he was the lead of Catch of the Day, and, you know, he told me, I wish we had more scenes, and I felt the same way, because it was just so much fun, and they really know what they're doing, you know, when you're starting out in this industry, you're going to encounter a lot of bad seeds and a lot of good seeds. I've had my fair share of run-ins with bad seeds who are, they're aspiring, but they just don't know how to close the deal. To be completely honest, I thought that was going to happen, and it happens for most of the time, but Fuzz and Lens proved me wrong, and they proved me wrong time and time again, and now I know I'm dealing with real professionals. They are just hitting the ball out of the park, and I am blessed, honored, and privileged to even be known by them, because I know that I'm talented, I know that they're talented, and finally two talented entities are making a mega-talented product. And to add on, you know, this movie has Malcolm McDowell, who's a legend, Gilbert Gottfried, who's a comedic legend, Leslie Easterbrook, who I grew up watching from the Police Academy movies, Ron Jeremy, who other people grew up watching, he's a legend in his own right. And,
back in
you know,
the 70s, yeah.
Yeah, right, yeah. Good old fellow Jew from Queens, huh? Not bad. And let's see who else we got. We got Jim Hanks, who's Tom Hanks' brother. Of course, Gil Brando Acevedo, who's a Fuzz and Lens regular. And so many other names, you know, it's so awesome. And I really cannot wait.
Don't forget Tamara Glynn, too. And Vic Tamara Glynn.
Yes.
And Vic DiPietro, who is a Yeah, and Vic, yeah, Halloween 4, and Vic the Potato, who's a stand-up. And
Vic the Potato, that's right. Yeah, I wasn't hearing what you were saying. Of course, Vic the Potato. He's, he's, I met him in one of the Fuzz and Woods Comedy Nights, finally in person. But, you know, I've known him for a while, especially from that, the bread, the milk. I mean, it's just,
that was one of his best, dude. That thing went all over the place.
Oh, my God. Millions upon millions upon millions of views. You know, it's just incredible. Incredible.
And it really broke up the seriousness and the somberness of Hurricane Sandy with that really short clip he did, because it was just about preparation. And I don't know, he kind of put a spin on it where, you know, try not to take stuff so seriously kind of thing, you know.
That's right.
Also, we got John Collins, my friend from a long time back. You know, we talk about him a lot because he's such a goofball.
Right.
And now your role.
Yep.
Oh, go ahead, man.
Yeah, I would just say the cast is just incredible.
Yeah. Your role in Abnormal Attraction, which is just started filming today, by the way. They had their first day.
Yes, it is the first official day of production, you know.
Absolutely.
And I can't wait. They told me that my scenes will be filmed across a few days in the end of August. And I'm telling you, I love the summer, but I don't care if the summer goes by fast, because I just cannot wait until the end of August. Hell, I can't wait until the end of July to work with Eric Roberts and whatever comes in between. But just to be on that set with Fuzz and Lens again working, having them direct me and produce and everything, it really is an incredible feeling.
Now, your role in that Normal Attraction is one of the monsters called Gary the Goblin.
Gary the Goblin, that's right.
Are you going to be masked, or are you going to be makeup? How are they going to do that?
I don't know, but I could imagine there's going to be a good amount of makeup and a really cool costume. They got a great costume designer, you know, great team doing that. And they're really grabbing and maintaining and building a team that is beyond any production company's wildest imaginations. They know what they're doing. They're
true professionals, and they have a passion for what they do, and there's nothing else they would ever see themselves doing. And they put everything they are into what they do. Him and Jason and Steve DeLaSalle as well as a part of the crew. All those guys, you know. I mean, I started watching this stuff a couple of years ago.
Just to see. Where it came from to where it is now, it's really incredible. And I got to give a special notice. If people have not heard of the Sandown Clown, then you have been living under a rock.
The only people that haven't heard of the Sandown Island Clown are, A, the people that don't have a computer and internet access, and, B, people that don't own televisions.
Yeah, I know, and that's cool and all, but, you know, if word of mouth spread about the Sandown Clown for a while. I didn't, you know, until Michael on Facebook, he posted a compilation of all the clips on the news where the Sandown Clown had gone. It was completely incredible. I had no clue that international news was covering this, you know?
Not only that, but the internet had all these crazy, you know how you got your internet crazies that see conspiracy theories everywhere? When I had Steve DeLaSalle on another show, and I was looking through all the videos of news clips and whatnot on the internet of Sam Island Clown and what have you. This was probably about a year and a half ago, and I found one, and it was like 20 minutes long, and it was some nut job saying that the Staten Island Clown was some government conspiracy to keep us focused on, you know, on that. And not on, like, the news of the day and what's going on overseas. This guy really, like, did a 20-minute, like, PowerPoint presentation video. And it was the funniest thing I ever saw. I wish I had saved the link for that video, because it was hilarious, man. So, I mean, yeah.
Really,
Sandown Island Clown was everywhere.
Absolutely. It was really everywhere. And it was just such a brilliant, you know, I had no clue it was them until I started seeing a trend and who's posting what. So I follow all of them on Instagram, and I see that it's just them who's, you know, taking pictures of it, along with a few friends of mine who have nothing to do with Fuzz and the Lens. So I was like, I would not be surprised if they have something to do with this. Who else has to be brilliant enough to have a guy, well, who was, I believe, was Johnny Collins, he was dressing up as a clown and just standing at night at these random spots in Staten Island, and of course people would notice because people are freaked out of clowns. You know, people have a phobia of clowns. There's a whole phobia for that. And this, it was just such a brilliant marketing campaign. And, you know, hats off to them. Standing ovation for this because now
they,
people
they
are going to
think it was going to go anywhere.
They
didn't think it was going to go anywhere. And then Vic DiBattista put up a video of him driving by the clown at night and videotaping it, freaking out. He put it up on his Facebook and Twitter, that video, and that it started rolling from there. And according to Michael, they didn't have any idea. It was just kind of a gag kind of thing, something to do. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah. How did you get into acting? According to your IMDb, your great-grandmother was an actress in the Soviet Union, right?
Yes. My great grandmother was a theater actress, a stage actress, a wonderful stage actress in the former Soviet Union, and she had met my great grandfather, who was a producer of stage and theater, and he was actually a friend of Stanislavski, who is he's the reason, you know, Lee Strasberg became the method guy, and he's just responsible for a lot of these new, you know, acting methods and whatnot. Just one of the greatest acting teachers ever. And so my, you know, that part of the family was, you know, encompassed with acting. And I guess it remained in my blood because nobody between me and them, you know, had that acting bug in them. So how I really was introduced to all of this was when I was younger. I don't know, I was about 6 or 7. I was sitting in a restaurant in the city in Manhattan, and I was with my parents, and the waiter had noticed how I would ask for a fork. I would do it with flair, and I would do it with, you know, it wasn't boring. Something about me was, you know, just interesting, apparently, as I'm always told by my family when I was younger. And I was approached, well, my family was approached by this waiter who was an actor, and he said, listen, here's my agent's number. This guy, you know, your child has to be seen. And a few weeks later, I was in front of a casting director auditioning for a Little Caesars commercial with like 500 other people in the room. And so, you know, I did it. I did the audition. I did not get cast, unfortunately. And my mom at the moment said, you know, this is craziness and that I wasn't, you know, didn't think I was ready for this world. So that had stopped. Fast forward to when I was in middle school, I decided to audition for a play, and I got cast as the third lead in The Pajama Game, which is a great play with Doris Day. And I was cast as the boss of this pajama-making factory, or clothing-making factory, and as Mr. Hassler. And, you know, after realizing what kind of work goes into it, I was really astonished, and it made me appreciate, even at that young age, you know, actors more. It made me appreciate the industry more. It made me appreciate everything that goes into it. You know, a 170-page script, and I had to memorize 70% of that. And I don't know, to this day, I don't remember how I did it. I don't know how I did it, but it was just, it was really, really incredible. It was really fun. And that kind of remained with me even more. And I started doing some background work in my third year in college. I studied political science, and I graduated with a degree in poli-sci because I originally wanted to be an entertainment lawyer and to transfer into the talent agent world. And I realized, you know what, I'd rather be in front of the camera than behind it. So I started doing some background work, and that led to me joining the union. And, you know, the suggestion to get into background work, to get into this, re-enter this world, I owe it to my friend Gary and a few other people. And I owe sincere gratitude for being urged to join the union before it became ridiculously hard, which it is now. I also owe that thanks to my friend Gary, and that's actually the same friend that we have a web series called Shit Russian Grandma Say, or Baba Fira, which is for the Russian-speaking community. And we'll get into that later if you'd like. But, I joined the union. I started, more featured roles, you know, The Wolf of Wall Street, The Angriest Man in Brooklyn, The Orange is New Black, and a lot of people are like, oh, I see you in this. But, you know, I'm very grateful for this recognition, but they don't realize there's much, much more to this. There's much, much more than just standing around there being on camera and looking pretty or looking mean or looking ugly and nasty and whatever. So fast forward to now, I'm finally working with, I'm being represented by a manager out in L.A., Laura Lichen. Also represented by Shirley Faison of the Carson Adler Agency. Her son is actually Donald Faison, a very brilliant actor.
Yep.
And I'm also freelancing with a commercial agent at Abrams here in New York. They have L.A. and New York offices, and I'm very lucky to say that it's a top five agency, and I owe that to my acting coach, Victor Cruz.
Yeah, but I was going to say Victor Cruz, of course.
Joe, you got any
questions for Ari?
No, I'm just listening, having a good time since, listening to Ari. You know, it's all amazing because I too understand what he's talking about being behind and being in front of the camera and, you know, what it really takes to do a film or a show where, you know, you just sit, you know, it's not all like, oh, hey, let me just stand here and, you know, but there's other things that people who have never been on a set, they don't know what goes behind the scenes or the making of the films or shows because it's really, you know, it's tough and it's, you know, hard work. And, you know, and I agree, you know, there are people who kind of like, I want to make a movie. I want to do this, become famous, you know, and stuff like that. But they don't quite have the drive, as Ari had mentioned, you know. But
yeah, you know why? It's because they do it because they want to get famous. They don't do it because they like it or love it. That's the difference.
I'm doing it
because I love it. I love it, and I love it. The fame that comes, if it comes with the territory, let it come with the territory. You know, my girlfriend asked me a question. Would you rather, you know, be famous like that or either, I forgot what was the second option. The second option was, you know, work, make a good amount of money and be known as that character type, but never be famous on billboards. I went with that. You know, I don't need the fame and what these reality stars have today and then the Kim Kardashians and the Real Housewives of Bumble, whatever. I do it for the passion. I do it because it's fun to be in front of a camera. It's fun to have to remember lines. It's really fun to create a character out of what you're given. I have that same kind of fun with auditions because in auditions, that's the work. The reward is the role. A lot of people look at the role as the role. No, it's the audition, and I'm very lucky when I get one, and I'm very lucky to have a team of people trying to get me these things. So I am very blessed and very humble.
Brett. I was just going to quickly mention Ari's co-star, Eric Roberts, and talking about reality stars. Coming up this weekend, if you're out in Los Angeles area or Houston, Florida, or Miami, I believe, you can check out the L.A. Slasher having its premiere. It's screening out at certain AMCs out here. So Eric Roberts is also in that movie, so check out L.A. Slasher.
What is that
there
about?
You go. What's that about? It's a film. It's a comedy horror film where it's basically this serial killer or something like that kills people who want to be reality stars. They want their 15 minutes of fame. And he comes out and he starts taking them out and stuff like that. And, you can check out the trailer at L.A. Slasher. It stars Brooke Hogan, Eric Roberts, a lot of other people, Dave Bautista, and a few other people. Produced by a friend of mine named Sean Decker, really great guy. So it's going to be coming soon, so check it out, guys. But it's a lot of fun. Go ahead, Brett.
I was just going to say, Ari, we were talking about character actors, and you know, as a character actor, you can make a decent amount of money in the industry. But I saw this documentary, I don't know, maybe about a year or two. I think it's called That Guy or something like that. It's all about the character actors.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
I've seen that film. It's brilliant. It's really brilliant. And, you know, I was astonished to know that as they kept introducing these actors, I knew who they were. You know, I knew them all by face, but I just didn't know the name. And unfortunately,
exactly.
I think two of them since passed away, and they still won't be recognized. But, you know, people think character actor, oh, they're not the leading man. But you don't got to be the leading man to be the star of something.
You don't.
And you know what? I'm not saying that I'll never be the lead actor, but right now I'm working as a character type, and I love it. The beard gives me an edge. The look gives me an edge. You know, I'm slimming down, so maybe that will change my look at some point. But I'm going to tell you right now, people have the wrong impression. Just, you don't have to be a leading man to be a star, number one. Number two, you don't have to be a leading man to make the most money. Trust me, character actors, they got their quota. And, you know, we talk about money. Money is not the most important thing, but people need to make a living. But for me, it's about the passion. And, hey, man, if I get an audition tomorrow for Blue Bloods, that's two lines, and it's just for a character role, I'll be very, very happy.
You just jump at that one real quick, huh?
Yes.
Hey, I got a question for you, Ari.
Sure.
Who are some of your favorite directors?
Some of my favorite directors? Okay, well, I'll give you a list. Martin Scorsese is definitely number one. Michael Levy is definitely number two.
Wait, you put Michael Levy at number two after Martin Scorsese? Wow.
After Martin Scorsese.
You gotta go.
I'm telling you, it's so many good directors out there, a lot of great filmmakers, but to be serious, number one, and I only focus on him mostly when I talk about directors, although there's so many good directors, but Scorsese has inspired me a lot.
There you go.
Casino's my favorite movie of all time, and yeah.
Here you go.
Right on.
Yeah.
So we were talking about Victor Cruz. We didn't really get on that. He's an acting coach for you and also one of your mentors?
He is a mentor. He's an actor himself. You've definitely seen him in a lot of stuff. He was in an episode of Blacklist. He was on he's a reoccurring character on Blue Bloods. He's a reoccurring character on Gotham on Fox. He was just in the Annie movie with Jamie Foxx. He was in Side Effects, which is a Steven Soderbergh film. I believe Steven Soderbergh.
Yeah.
He's been in a lot of commercials, and he does share the same name as the football player. But if you're in the industry, you definitely know the difference. You know, Victor Cruz is a very spiritual, inspirational guy. He's a very nice guy. It's an honor to call him my friend. He's very talented, and I owe a lot to him because he's just one of a kind. He really is. And this is not me kissing ass, but he really is one of a kind.
Very cool. We were talking earlier about, people say I've seen you in this and I've seen you in that. I did see you a while back in Royal Pains, which is on Netflix nowadays.
That was that point when I was just starting out doing some extra work. That was pretty much what that was. Not something I'm proud of. It was a learning experience. It was fun. We shot on the ship, the Intrepid. It was definitely a lot of fun, but it was just the beginning for me, so it was fun to work on that set. There was a lot of sets I worked on when I was just starting out that was really a learning experience and just showed me what it really takes in. And as you guys were saying, how if you don't know how a film set works, you're always curious. The best thing to do is, even though you're not an actor, what you should do is become an extra for 1 or 2 days and just go on the set and see how it works. It's very easy when you're non-union, and in L.A. you can easily do that. I would recommend that for anybody, just to see that it's no joke. It really is no joke. A lot of work goes into that. But it's...
I was talking to somebody when I lived in New York, and this was like 15 years ago, I was on the Staten Island Ferry coming back from Manhattan, and I was talking to this lady who started out just being an extra in Manhattan for, I can't remember which company she worked for. And she said, I think she was doing like a little law and order here and there, you know, just being a part of the crowd that was walking around. And she said, you spend 15-18 hours just sitting around, and then, okay, when they call action, everybody's in their place, and you just walk in the direction they tell you to walk in, or however, and then they cut, and then you're sitting around. She did a lot of sitting around, she told me. And she said it was rough.
It is very rough. And just to give you an idea, when it comes to timing, the fact whether you're union or non-union makes a huge, huge difference. Being union in this industry, something that a lot of people that are just starting out should know is that if you want, a lot of people say that you can wait for an audition to become union. I suggest you become union because it gives you a true base, a true foundation. And for example, let's say you're non-union and you work 18 hours, you're not going to be making more than $130, you know, after taxes.
Yeah.
My very first extra job was on The Dictator, the Sacha Baron Cohen movie, the guy who made Borat and Bruno. I was on The Dictator. Yeah, you don't see me at all in it, but I worked 17 and a half hours, and I made $95 after taxes. If I was union, I would have made, let's say, close to $1,700,
$1,800. Wow.
So the union protects you when it comes to time. If you're doing a lot of extra work, it definitely pays to be union, and I would recommend that to anybody. I don't know who's listening, but if you're listening and you're trying to start out, try to get into the union as much as you can, because guess what? All these speaking roles you see on TV, if it's not a reality show, all these actors are union. All these actors are protected by you. Because, you know, you get a speaking role and then they can screw you in the end on contracts and nothing. But when you're in the union, you're always protected. So that's just a little disclaimer that I tell everybody that's thinking of joining the industry, so to say. Yeah,
that's good advice, you know. And a lot, like you said, a lot of people that were getting into the industry wouldn't know that. I mean, the main thing they look at is like, well, I got to pay dues and I can't afford that because I ain't making any money on this particular set, you know, walking around as an extra for 18 hours.
If you're not going to be making money on a set, your dues are not going to be that high. Your dues are usually calculated on your total income from acting. So, the union would know.
It's like a sliding scale type of thing, huh?
It's definitely a sliding scale. There's a minimum, but it's not that much. And you pay twice a year.
Yeah. The friend of mine, he lives out in Louisiana, you know, he's a stunt guy, but he also owns his own Kung Fu studio as well, so he does that. But, you know, he's been in SAG and AFTRA for many years since he was David Carradine's stunt double and trainer on Kung Fu The Legend Continues way back in the 90s, and he had to join, and he said that he never regrets it. He keeps his membership up. He's still doing stuff, you know, because they've been doing a lot of filming down in Louisiana. He just recently did a freak show, the American Horror Story, and he worked with Jack Galang and stuff, and he was making union money on that gig. You know, they called him in for the knife throwing scene that Jack Galang had. And, you know, he balanced all the blades and taught her how to hold it and how to throw it. But the actual cut to the target was him throwing those knives. And then he actually had an on-screen appearance in the last episode called Curtain Call. He's been a SAG actor for, a long time. And even when he'll go through periods where he's not really looking for stunt work or anything like that, because he never knows what's going to come along, who's going to contact him, that type of thing, you know.
Yeah.
So it makes a lot of sense.
It absolutely does.
Yeah.
Well, we've got about 5 minutes left in the show. I'd like to keep everybody up on time here. So anything else you want to talk about in the next 5 minutes?
Just in case anybody's listening, you know, even though I do have representation, I still go out and hustle my, self. I'm not at the point where everybody knows me, but that's the goal. And, for people to check out more of my work, they can head over to www.thearibarkin.com, and they can also IMDb me, and I'll show you another form of my resume and a bunch of films that I'm working on or to be released or have been released, TV shows, etc. And, you know, if anybody wants to get in touch, they can definitely contact me on my website, which is, once again, www.thearibarkin.com. And I, you know, if you're a filmmaker and you're in L.A. And you want to get me your movie or have me audition, I would so gladly do that. I have family in L.A. I go there at least once every year, every summer. So, yeah, you know, I love L.A. It's a home away from home. I say that for a few places. But, yeah, you know, and even Canadian filmmakers, if, you know, if there's anybody, any film students in Toronto, for example, or Montreal, anywhere in Canada, I'd love to work with you guys as well. I'm still yet to learn about your Canadian unions, but if anybody's listening from Canada, I'd love to work there as well. So, yeah, L.A., New York, Canada, I'll go wherever the work is.
You were just up there recently, right? Up in Toronto?
Yeah, I was there. Say again?
You were up in Toronto?
I was in Toronto visiting some friends and my girlfriend.
Okay. I heard through the grapevine that you did a radio show up there while you were up there.
Oh, yeah, no, I was supposed to. What happened with that was it just things fell through, but hopefully the next time around it will happen. There's a show called Canada Laughs, or the radio station is called Canada Laughs, and it's on Sirius XM, and it's from 4 to 6 p.m. Monday to Friday. It's like the Canadian Howard Stern. His name is Todd Shapiro. He's a really nice guy, really funny. And he was once in New York doing it from the Sirius headquarters here in New York City, his show, and me and my friend, who we dress up as a grandmother and a grandson, we did a little skit on his radio show. So I reached out to him, and I was there, but things fell through. I wasn't there, not, you know, long enough. But, before we go, before I forget, everybody can check out my web series, especially if you speak Russian. It's on YouTube, and all you have to type in is B-A-B-A-F-I-R-A, Baba Fira. So basically it's a Russian grandmother, and it's the stories of the Russian grandmother and her grandson. And the trials and tribulations, adventures, skits, it's really, really funny. And even if you don't speak Russian, everybody will understand this because everybody's grandmother is or was like this. It's definitely, it's really funny. It's really funny, and I definitely want all of you guys to check it out. So, once again, www.theribarkin.com. Keep up with me, and a lot of good things happening this summer.
Very cool. It was excellent talking with you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, no problem.
An honor and a privilege. I'd love to be on again sometime soon.
Absolutely. Hey, Joe, you want to plug?
Yes.
You got some stuff to plug, sir.
Oh, I do. I will be out in Burbank coming September 18th through the 20th for Monsanto Monster Palooza. Great convention. If you've never been, go check it out. Some great guest stars are going to be there, like Dario Argento, Tony Todd, David Naughton, Meg Foster, Udo Kerr. Let's see. Oh, there we go. Leslie Esterbrook, Nick Garris, Tom Holland, Bill Johnson, Billy Worth, William Forsythe, always.
Oh, William Forsythe, that guy's doing a lot of indies. He's a great actor.
Yes.
That's a character actor trying to become the lead.
There you go. James Hong, William Malone, Danielle Harris, Tom Atkins, great list, Sherry Curry, Eileen Dietz. Great time to be had out at Son of Monster Palooza, September 18th through the 20th. Also,
hey, Joe,
you can catch
Joe.
Yes.
You better call me this year when you're in town.
I'll let you know when I arrive in Burbank, people.
And don't forget
this is Burbank, California. And then also you can catch my local cable show every Friday night, 11:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 2:30 a.m. East Coast Time, over off of Create TV, or find me off of Facebook, Joe Flynn. Think of the dead actor, McHale's Navy. Not him, but the guy with the top hat, beard. That's me, Joe Flynn. There it is. Simple as that.
Right. All right. Well, you guys have a great week. And Ari, we'll be in touch again as things progress.
Absolutely,
gets going.
Two things I want to say. Two things. First of all, everybody who's interested about Abnormal Attractions, go to their Indiegogo. Go to Indiegogo and search Abnormal Attractions, and even a dollar. If you can donate a dollar, that will be amazing because the dollar goes a long way. It's better than nothing. And number two,
yeah.
July 31st, Netflix.